Now, as you're able, would you please stay standing for the reading of the word, which today is going to be done by one of our women's ministry volunteers who leads our Coffee and Friends ministry, Kristen Mayer.
Good morning. Okay, I'm going to be reading from Hebrews 11, verse 5 through 6. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And in Genesis 5, verse 21 to 24, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more because God took him away. The word of the Lord.
You may be seated. Well, good morning. It is good to be with you here. My name is Ryan. For those of you that I may not know, it's a joy to come and just to dive in to God's word. We are in a series called Big God. It comes from a book written by an author named Britt Merrick, where he just outlines Hebrews 11 and walks through these stories. And our goal and our hope is to increase our faith, that we would have big faith in a big God. That is our goal. That is our desire. That is the dream that we have through this series. And the first week, we talked about how in Scripture, Jesus said that faith the size of a mustard seed placed in God can move mountains. And we need some mountain movers in the world, because there are some mountains that need to be moved. Maybe you see that in the world. You see that with things that are just happening in the world. Maybe you see that in relationships. There's someone that you're praying for. There's someone that you're longing for them to come to Jesus, and it just feels like there's a mountain standing in the way. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. And so let's turn our eyes to God and focus on who he is and learn to have a big faith in a big God so that we can be mountain movers. Last week, we looked at Abel's story and we saw that Abel was faith worshiping. That Abel worshiped God faithfully. What that means is that Abel made a sacrifice. He gave the first. He gave the best of what he had to God. He offered all of himself, the best of himself and the best of what he had, because he said, God, you are worth more. That is true worship. And so today we're going to continue on in Hebrews 11 and look at the next big faith story that was just read for us in verses 5 and 6. Let me read these verses again. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He cannot be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. There's not a lot of information here. When we look at some of the other stories in Hebrews 11, these stories of faith, we see some moments where it describes for us what's happening. There's moments of faithfulness in Hebrews 11 that we can look at and we can say, oh, I can do that. I can live that way. I can take that's very practical, but it doesn't give us a whole lot on Enoch. It tells us that he had faith, which makes sense since he's in this passage all about faith. And it tells us that he pleased God. Now that's good. We want to be people who please God, right? I want to stand before God in eternity. And when I stand before him, I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to know that my life was a pleasing offering to him. That's the hope. That's the desire for every believer, for every follower of Christ. But it doesn't get into specifics. It then tells us that he was taken away from this life and that he didn't experience death. That's kind of cool. I look and say, well, I would like to experience that. There's a way that I can just be taken up. Praise God. Let's let that happen. But again, it doesn't tell us exactly what he did. So we go to Genesis chapter 5 to try and see if we can get any more information. And Genesis chapter 5 tells us in verse 21, it says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more because God took him away. That's it. It's the end of the story. That's all the information we have on Enoch. And it's fascinating because with this tiny four-verse section on this person that you look at and you're like, okay, most of this is just describing his family and his age. Why is he in Hebrews 11? Why is he there with Abraham and Moses and Noah and David? I mean, I know what they did. I colored those pictures in children's ministry. I'm aware of their steps of faith. But Enoch, it tells us that he walked faithfully with God, and that's all it says. And because he walked faithfully, he was taken away. He didn't have to experience death. And so we have to look at this idea of Enoch walking with God and say, well, that's what we're supposed to take from this. That Enoch was faith walking. He faithfully walked with God. Okay, that's great. I go on walks all the time, right? And I like to believe that I walk with God. I mean, we use this language in church all the time where we ask a brother and sister in Christ, hey, how's your walk with Jesus? By the way, if you haven't asked anyone how their walk with Jesus is going lately, try it. Ask someone how their walk with Jesus is going. And so we use this language and it seems like, all right, doesn't every Christian walk with God? Isn't that just a baseline Christianity, what we do? And yet because Enoch walked faithfully with God, he was taken away, he didn't experience death, he was commended as one who pleased God, and we see his story in Hebrews 11. So let's try and break down this idea of what it means to walk with God, and maybe we can understand what Enoch did and why this takes such great faith. So the first thing we want to understand about what does it mean to walk with God is that it means that we have a relationship with God. It means that we have a relationship with God. The text is not saying that Enoch, that he walked around God or near God, or that they both happened to be walking at the same time. It says that he walked with God. There's an implication of relationship that takes place. Actually, all throughout Genesis, we see this walking language that's meant to show that relationships are happening. Look at some of the places in Genesis where it talks about this idea of walking. In Genesis 3:8, about Adam and Eve, it says, the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, just pause right there, cover the rest of them for just a moment. We'll get there. But this is an interesting one because it tells us that God is walking and the man and the woman hear him walking, but they are not walking with him. This is to show us that intimacy has been broken, that the relationship has been damaged, that Adam and Eve should be walking with God in the cool of the day, but instead they are hiding because they've pursued their own path and allowed sin to separate them from the presence of God. And so instead of walking with God here, they're hiding and God is walking by himself. Now, other places in Genesis show us that there is relationship. Genesis 6:9 about Noah says he walked faithfully with God. In 17:1, it tells that Abram, that the Lord appeared to him and said, I'm God Almighty, walk before me faithfully and be blameless. In Genesis 24:40, this is quoting Abram. He replied, the Lord before whom I have walked faithfully. And Genesis 48:15 says that Abraham and Isaac walked faithfully with God. This language is meant to draw our hearts, our minds, our attention to the relationship that exists between God and man. So when we say that Enoch walked with God, we should understand that he had a close, personal, intimate relationship with the Father. He knew the Father well. He had a relationship with him. And it wasn't a relationship that Enoch was avoiding, that he didn't want to be a part of. The second part of walking with God is that to walk with God means that we are willing to go with God. It doesn't tell us that Enoch was dragged along, that he was picked up and thrown over his shoulder and God carried him with him. It tells us that Enoch walked with God. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. It tells us, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Amos is reminding us that this idea of walking with someone means there is a relationship and there's an agreement in place. There's an agreement to certain things that are taking place to say, in order to walk with God, they have to come to some agreements. And Enoch is willing to make all of these agreements. Now, we'll get to these agreements in just a moment, but for now, just understand that if we're going to walk with God, it's not something we are forced to do, but it should be something that our hearts desire, that our hearts long for. Why did Enoch please God? Hebrews 11, it lays it out. It says that it requires faith to please God because you have to know that God exists and earnestly seek after him. And so if we want to walk faithfully with God and we want to please him, we need to seek after him, to walk with him out of the desire of our heart, the depths of our heart. This might be a place, by the way, where we need to get our eyes focused on God again. Because if we say, I just don't feel that way, I don't have a desire for a relationship with him, then maybe we don't know him well enough. So we need to come back to the heart of worship, come back to Jesus, make it all about him, get to know him better. And if we know him and we know who he is and we know what he's done, then our hearts will hopefully be led to desiring him. Because I don't know how you can really know God and know who he is and know what he's done and not desire him and not long for him and not want to walk with him. There's a willingness that takes place. And the third thing that walking with God signifies is that it tells us that we are consistently moving forward with God. We are consistently moving forward. The scripture does not say they're standing around together. It doesn't say they're just hanging out. It says that they are walking together. Enoch walked with God. So there's this movement that's taking place. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 says this. The Apostle Paul says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. It's interesting because the Apostle Paul, who clearly has an intimate relationship with Christ, who has clearly experienced a moment of salvation, has clearly experienced times with God. He's done some incredible things for God. He says, I'm not there yet. I don't pretend to be. I don't think I've reached the end. He says, I'm going to keep pressing forward. I'm going to keep pursuing God. Because really, there is no end to my relationship. And so until the day the Lord calls me home, I'm going to keep pursuing him. Keep pressing into relationship. We keep moving forward with God. If we're going to walk with God, we need to keep moving forward. A consistent movement with him that leads us to the next step and the next step and the next step. Too often, Christians, we make the Christian life just a purely salvation issue. Well, we're saved by faith alone in Christ alone, so once I've put my faith in Christ, I'm done, I'm finished. I can go do whatever I want to do. But that's a moment, and the Christian life is a movement. We need to keep pursuing Jesus over and over and over again. Today, right after this service, we're going to have a baptism celebration out on the patio. We have 15 people being baptized today. And this is a moment in their walk with Christ. It's not the end. It's a moment. For all of us who have been baptized, when we go and we watch the baptism and we celebrate with these people who are taking that step of faith, we should remember our own baptism and ask the question, am I living out my baptism? Am I living out my baptismal covenant? Am I remembering the grace that God has given to me through his son, Jesus Christ? Am I still trying to put death to sin and live in the righteousness that God has offered me in his life? Or did I have this moment and then I just stopped and God kept moving and I stood watching? Walking with God means we keep moving forward. It's actually why we do our laugh track courses that we have today at 2 p.m. Our one-on-one course is all about Christ Community Church and who we are as a church because we believe that every Christian should be a part of a community of believers. And so we want to introduce you to Christ Community. If this is the place for you, great. Come and be a part of it. And if not, that's okay. Find the church that is for you. Find the place that you can call home, that you can press into the community. Our 201 is all about spiritual disciplines. What do you do Monday through Saturday to keep your walk with Christ going? Because it's not just a moment. We're not just showing up to hang out with Jesus once a week and then leaving. We're walking with him consistently. And our 301 course is all about stepping into ministry. I've been walking with God and I want to walk in mission with God and do the things that God has called me to do. How do I do that? How do I live out the mission that God has for me? How am I wired? Where do I start? Where do I serve? Where do I go? How am I equipped? And so we walk through that in our Laugh Track 301 courses. So you can still join us at 2 p.m., by the way, today, if you want to have a really long day like some of us and do Laugh Track after our baptism. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be really good. But we want to keep moving forward. And so to do this, to walk with God faithfully, we have to agree to three different things. And the first thing that we have to agree to with God is that we have to agree to the place where we are going. If you're going to walk with someone, you have to agree to the place. Now, when we make this agreement with God, this is not a both sides get to debate and we get to figure out where we want to go. No, this is, hey, we want to go where God has called us to go. So where is that location that God has called us to go? Because we need to head in that direction. Well, the first place that we ultimately want to end up at is heaven, right? We want eternity. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, hey, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And I want you to know that I'm going to return to bring you home because Jesus wants us to be with him in glory. So that's the ultimate place we're trying to get to. But what do we do in the meantime? We just wait for that day? No, there's some places that God is leading us to right now. There's some specific places. So I have a buddy who I just met with. He is a missionary. He's been doing missions work. And he is getting ready to, in a couple months, head off to Indonesia. He's felt God is calling him to that specific place to go do ministry and to reach an unreached people group there. Praise God. He has to listen to God and go to that place. Many of you might have felt like God has called you to be in Carmichael and to stay in Carmichael. Or maybe God is calling you to go to a different state, to a different country, somewhere else around the world. Wherever God calls you to go, we need to agree to the place and go where he calls us to go. So there's some discernment that needs to take place in figuring out specifically where does God want me to be? But there's also some general principles that we can apply. Some general places that God is taking each and every follower of Christ. And to find these places, we can look at the Great Commandment in Matthew 22 and the Great Commission in Matthew 28. The Great Commandment, Jesus asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So in relationship with God, this place that God wants to take us is to learning to love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. The goal of relationship with God is the relationship with God. That's what we're seeking. That's what we're desiring. That's what we're gaining more of. We always want to be pursuing a deeper relationship with him. That should be one of our goals in life. God wants us to learn to love him with everything that we have. Now, we won't be able to do this perfectly until we reach eternity. But until that day comes, we want to get to know God more. Learn how to worship him. Learn how to give him praise. Learn how to give him glory. Because this is what he's called us to do. And the second thing is to love others. Love our neighbor as ourselves. So this is one of the places that God wants to lead us, to loving others. Now, we do this as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have this fellowship and this bond that doesn't exist anywhere else. The blood of Christ paid the price so that we could be brought together. That means that when someone comes through those doors and they've never experienced church, they should walk in and probably feel like this place is a little bit strange. They should look and be like, you guys just love each other? You forgive one another? You bear with one another? You have compassion towards each other? You're generous with each other? You serve each other? You come from all these different backgrounds and different histories and all these things that should divide you, that separate everyone else, and that doesn't bother you. You just love one another. We should be able to do that because the Spirit of God is what leads us and guides us and allows us to do those things. And this is the place that God wants to take us, to love God, to love others. How do we love, though? We can love the gathered, but how do we love the not yet gathered? Those who don't know Christ. Well, Matthew 28, the Great Commission, Jesus tells his disciples, go into the world and make disciples. Go and tell people about Jesus. Go and be a light. And when you've gotten to the point where they're putting their trust in Christ and they're walking with Jesus, help them in that. Disciple them so that they're strengthened, so that they grow closer to Jesus. So that in their walk with Christ, they can learn how to reach others and tell people about Jesus. The goal is not just to, by addition, add to the kingdom of God. It's to multiply the kingdom of God by making disciples who make disciples. That's the ultimate goal. This is where we want to get. So how do we get there? So we agree to the place, but we have to agree to the path as well. We have to agree to the path. Back in March, my family and I, we went to Disneyland for my son's 6th birthday. And we knew that we wanted to go on this ride in Disneyland called the Rise of the Resistance. And Rise of the Resistance has one of the longest lines in the entire park, which is saying something when you know Disneyland. And so if you want to go on Rise, you have to get there before the park opens, and you can go into the park, and they have these ropes that prevent you from going to the different areas, to the different rides. And you want to be there so that when the rope drops, you take off and get to Rise of the Resistance. And that's the first thing you do in the morning. So we were like, all right, we're going to do this as a family. We got up, we got there early. We got there before rope drop. We were waiting patiently, waiting for the rope to drop. But we'd been talking, and my wife had said, hey, I saw this thing online that this person said the fastest way to get to Rise is you go up through this land and around this place, and then you get to the ride faster than anyone else. I said, okay, that's fine. But on the map, the shortest way is the opposite direction. And so we made an agreement. We said, okay, let's just each go a separate way, and we'll see who gets there first, and then we'll get in line, and then we'll join the other. Of course, I got there first. That's not how it happened, but my wife's not here today, so if she asks, I got there first. Although I guess she would know. But the point is that we got to the same place. We ended up in the same location, but we didn't do that together. Now, once we were there, we were together, but we weren't walking together. You can't say that I was walking with my wife during that time. No, I was sprinting through crowds of people trying to get to the line faster than her. So if we want to go with God, we want to walk with God, we have to agree on the path. The reality is that we can agree that we want to love God. And we can try and do this our own way. But God has already told us how to love him. We can try and love others doing it our way. But more often than not, our way doesn't compare to the way that God has called us to love people. We can try and make disciples, and we can try and do this our way, but we'll probably come up short. So how do we follow God in his path? How do we do what he has called us to do and get to the place where he wants us to go the right way? Psalm 119, verse 9 asks this question. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. We need to be a people of the word. We need to be a people who spend time reading scripture, who spend time studying the word, who spend time memorizing the word. Because if we're not getting into God's word, then we're going to try and get to this place we want to go to, but we're going to try and go our own direction. And if we do that, we're not walking with God. See, all throughout scripture, we actually see these examples of people who thought they were loving God, trying to do things their way. In Isaiah, they're called out for offering incense and offerings, which is commanded in scripture, but the problem was they weren't giving their hearts. Jesus meets with a rich young ruler who's done everything right. He's followed all of the commands, but his heart is far from God. He thinks, I've been loving God because I've been checking things off a list. And Jesus says, no, you haven't been following the path that I have for you. You're not walking with God. You're trying to get to the place your own way. And it's not enough. And so we need to agree to the place, and we need to agree on the path that God has in store for us. Where does he want us to go? And the third thing that we have to agree to is that we have to agree to the pace. We have to agree to the pace. I have run a few marathons in my life, and I got to do the California International Marathon a couple times. And when I run the marathon, there is 6,000 other people who are running. Now, I finished ahead of about 1,500 of them, which for those of you doing the math means I lost to 4,500 people. And I can tell you that we were not running together. This was not a relational exercise. Because some of the people who were running, they started in the same place, they ended in the same place, they even started at the same time, they took the same path, but they finished 2.5 hours earlier than I did. We did not have a relationship during this time. So we might agree to the place and we might agree to the path, but if we get off the pace, the relationship is broken. What does this look like in our relationship with God? Galatians 5:25. I'll just read off the screen. It tells us this. It took me too long. How can a young person, I have too many bookmarks. How can a young person stay, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. There we go. I don't know what the other part is. But we want to keep in step with the Spirit. That's the ultimate goal, right? We want to walk with the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. That's what God desires for us to do. And so we need to let him lead the path. We need to let him lead our direction and lead the pace that we are to go at. So there are many Christians who we try and go too fast. We want the miracle now. We want the blessing now. We want the clarity of the vision now. We want the provision right now. And what happens is sometimes we can start doing things our own way, thinking, I'm going to speed things up a little bit. God, you're taking a little bit too long. I've been waiting on you to provide this. I've been waiting on you to do your thing. And so I'm going to do things my way. By the way, you know who did this? Abraham. Right? Abraham was promised a son with his wife, Sarah. They weren't seeing the blessing. They weren't seeing the promise fulfilled. And they got tired of waiting. And so Sarah says, hey, my maidservant, go sleep with her. Have a child with her. And it created all sorts of problems and issues. When we try and fulfill God's promises our way, instead of waiting on his timing, we're just going to mess things up. So sometimes we run a little too fast, and sometimes we go too slow. I'd say more often than not, if we're not in pace with God, it's because we're going too slow. God, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready to go and love people the way you've called me to love them. I'm not ready to forgive people yet. I'm not ready to tell people about Jesus. I can't live this Christian life. I've only been at church for 10 years. I don't know how to read the Bible or pray or love somebody. We've been dragging our feet for too long. And God's trying to lead us to take that next step. But our pace is off. We're going too slow. And we're missing out on the blessing. We're missing out on the life that God has in store for us. We need to agree to the place, the path, and the pace to walk faithfully with God. I believe that this is what Enoch did. He kept his eyes focused on God. He did things his way. Not too quickly, not too slow. Just trusted the Spirit's leading and guiding each and every step of the way. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. I want to read these two verses one more time. It says in verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. Because of his faithfulness, because of his walk with God, he didn't have to experience death. Because he pleased God, he didn't have to experience death. Now, for most of us, we're not going to get to experience what Enoch experienced in the way that he experienced it. This is a pretty unique moment in Scripture. And the reality is, even for a ton of other people who walked faithfully with God, they didn't get to experience this. But when we walk faithfully with God, we too can experience victory over death. See, if the ultimate place we're trying to go to is to be in eternity, to be in glory, to be in heaven with God, the path that we need to take is clearly laid out in Scripture. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The path to life, the path to the Father, is through the gift of the Son, through trusting in him, walking faithfully with him at his pace, day after day after day, week after week after week, month after month, year after year, until we reach eternity. We put our trust in him, go where he wants us to go, the way he wants us to get there, at the pace he wants us to take. We need to be like Enoch, putting our trust in Jesus and walking faithfully with him each and every day. And so I just want to ask, how is your walk with Jesus? Are you going where he wants you to go? Are you on the path he wants you to be on? Are you moving at the pace he wants you to take? Are you pleasing God, or are you trying just to be pleased by God? Let's walk faithfully with God and see some mountains moved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that leads and guides us. We thank you for these faith stories that are in Hebrews 11 and the way you have moved throughout all of history to draw people towards yourself. So God, I pray that we here at Christ Community Church, here in this building and watching online, that we right now would put our faith and trust completely and totally in you. That we would walk with you every day of our lives, going where you want us to go, the way you want us to get there, at the pace you want us to take. That we wouldn't try and do things our own way, but that we would simply trust in you. And God, if we walk faithfully with you, would you use that faith to move some mountains? To move some mountains in our community, in our state, in our country, in our world. To move some mountains in our areas of influence with those people that we've been preaching the word to, speaking truth to, demonstrating love towards. God, would you move some mountains in those hearts for those people that we've been praying for? The one that we've been pursuing to try and reach for you. God, give us favor in those relationships. God, this week, move whatever mountains are necessary that they would hear your word, know your truth, and would come to a saving faith in you as well, that they would walk faithfully with you. So help us to be a people, a church, a community that makes disciples, pointing people to you and helping people to make more disciples, multiplying the kingdom of God. Thank you for inviting us to walk with you and for inviting us to be a part of your kingdom building. We love you and praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.